Welcome to Kalpesh Classes. This is your special audio revision. I repeat, this is your special audio revision for CA Final, May 2019. Special rates of taxes. Basically, Chapter 12. Chapter 12 and Chapter 12A. But right now, I will focus only on Chapter 12. Friends, in international taxation, this particular chapter, chapter 12, which is basically we call this a special rates of taxes. In most of the sections, friends, there is a standard theme. There is a standard pattern in which the interpretation is to be done. In fact, I would rather call it as a standard interpretation method. Now, there will be a specified income. With the specified income, there will be a specified rates of taxes. So, specified income will have to be multiplied with the specified rates of taxes. This is a standard pattern. However, this particular specified income, against the income, you will not get any expenditure as the reduction. This is a general thing I am just telling you. So, against the specified income, you will not get any expenditure as the reduction. You will not get any deductions under Chapter 6A as a deduction against the specified income. Thirdly, there will be a special rates of tax which will be multiplied with this particular specified income. And generally, there will be some relaxations like on-off kind of provisions with respect to with the return of income, etc. is required to be filed or not required to be filed. However, the most important point here is specified income, no expenditure as the deduction, no Chapter 6A deduction. That means even business income deduction, well, expenditure not allowed. Even other sources expenditures, if at all any, is not allowed. And any deduction in the Chapter 6A is not allowed against the specified income. However, you will get a special rates of tax. And generally, this special rates of tax is a concessional rates of tax. So, to an extent, it is an advantageous provision for the specified assessees in this particular chapter. So, one thing that you should do it by yourself. You should just open the page. I have already given it to you in the chat form, in the theoretical manner, variety of the questions that I have already solved with you. All these different types of income, you better go through it very quickly before the examination, and better remember that what are the rates of taxes applicable to that specified types of income, as the case may be. Section 111A. That is basically a transaction on short-term capital asset being equity shares listed in the recognized stock exchange. So, that is basically a short-term capital gains on listed shares. Thereafter, section 112, that is basically your capital gains transactions wherever there is any long-term capital gains. Section 112A, that is basically long-term capital gains on the listed shares or the units of the equity-oriented fund. So, these are the three sections. I repeat, 111A, 112, and 112A, where the transactions are. I repeat, 111A is short-term capital gains on the listed shares. 112, that is any long-term capital gains, that is 112, like including any nature of capital asset, long-term capital gains, and 112A, that is our long-term capital gains on the listed equity share. Now, there are specified rates which you can see it in the table, which is I've already shared it with you. However, there is one very important feature of all the three sections. I repeat, very important feature of all the three sections, and that feature is that if there is unutilized basic exemption limit of the resident individual, I repeat, if there is unutilized basic exemption limit of the resident individual or HUF, that can be used against the specified income. I repeat, if there is unutilized basic exemption limit of the specified income of 111A, 112 and 112A, only these three sections. If there is any unutilized basic exemption limit by the resident individual or an HUF, again I repeat, only resident individual or an HUF, in that case, they can use it against the specified income. Normally, against the specified income, you do not get the basic exemption limit because it is subjected to the special rates of taxes. However, resident individual or an HUF can use the basic exemption limit. I will give you one very simple example. Supposing if there is a resident individual who has got a long-term capital gain, say for example only 10,000 rupees and no other income, nothing else. So this 10,000 rupees will go towards the basic exemption limit in case of resident individual, okay, or an HUF. However, if the same situation, if you make it as a non-resident individual in the example, in that case, he will have to pay tax on that particular 10,000 long-term capital gains because he cannot use basic exemption limit, the unused basic exemption limit for the specified income. That is one very core important feature of these three provisions taken together. Section 115A, where there is any non-resident and foreign company and it has got any specified income on account of royalty technical fees from an Indian concern under an approved agreement or if should have been covered by industrial policy of India. And the situation should be other than Section 44DA. Now, likewise, there are many different situations in different sections of Chapter 12, that is Special Rates of Taxes. Now, against this royalty technical fees, friends, the Chapter 6A deduction is permissible. In other words, friends, normally Chapter 6A deduction is not permissible. I repeat, normally Chapter 6A deduction is not permissible. But with respect to that, at few places, there are some on-off provisions. Okay. So this is something which I want to, I expect you people to have a look at it very quickly from my material where that yes, no kind of situation in the table where particularly few places where the Chapter 6A deduction is permissible. So that kind of situation you should better not miss out. The another thing which I want to bring it to your notice in this particular special rates of taxes is section 115 BBA, which is a very popular section from the examination point of view, where the non-resident, non-citizen sports person or the association is covered by that particular section 115 BBA and there is a special rate of tax of 20%. Now, under 115 BBA, friends, under 115 BBA, one of the very important point that should be known and should be kept into the mind here is that even the actors, even the performers are covered by that particular, that means if there was a non-resident performer, of course, it should be a non-citizen also. In that situation, if he has got any income out of the performance which is made in India, it will be subjected to the special rates of tax. Now, under 115 BBA, friends, Chapter 6A deduction shall not be allowed. Likewise, there is no specific provision. And therefore, the logical conclusion is that against the specified income, Chapter 6A deduction can be permissible. So that also should be kept in your mind very precisely. Now under 115 BBA, there is one very silly mistake which the students are always likely to do. In other words, the sports person or the performer should be non-resident and non-citizen also. I repeat, it should be non-resident also. It should be non-citizen also. So put it differently. For example, there is an Indian cricketer. Indian cricketer may be non-resident. I repeat, may be non-resident, but he may not be non-citizen. So the Indian cricketers, the Indian performers, the Indian actors will not come, I repeat, will not come under the category of 115 BBA. And accordingly, Indian people cannot take the benefit of 115 BBA because it should be non-resident and it should also be non-citizen. Further, friends, I want to bring to your notice is section 115 BBE provision, where under 115 BBE, there are deemed incomes of section 68, 69, etc. provisions, where those incomes are subjected to the special rates of tax of 60%. I repeat, it is subjected to the special rates of tax of 60%. And there is also a special surcharge under the Finance Act against this type income. That is 25%. I repeat, 60% tax and 25% surcharge against the income which is covered by 115 BBE. And against 115 BBE income, no expenditure, allowance or the set-off is allowed. Even the set-off is not allowed if it is an income covered by section 115 BBE. Refer this particular point very precisely from my study notes where I've already mentioned all these things very clearly to you. And of course, I want you all guys to remember this point very importantly, that no expenditure allowed against 115 BBE and even the set-off is not allowed against 115 BBE income. Another thing which I want to bring to your notice is section 115 BBD and 115 BBDA. Both of them are dividend income. The 115 BBDE is basically dividend from foreign specified company, basically the foreign subsidiary where the holding is 26% or more. However, 115 BBDA is dividend from domestic company where the aggregate dividend is in excess of rupees 10 lakhs. Okay. Now, the one of the important point here I want to bring to your notice is that 222E dividend, I repeat, 222E dividend is not covered. I repeat, it is not covered by these provisions of 115 BBD or BBDA as the case may be. That means 222E dividend is not covered by this particular provisions. That means if there is a shareholder who has got a loan from the private limited company and say for example you are covered by 115 BBDA, that loan receipt will not be subjected to 115 BBDA special rates of taxes. In other words, that 10 lakh limit test will not apply in relation to 222E dividend as the case may be. Chapter 12A, basically it's a special rates of taxes chapter which is dedicated to non-resident Indians. I repeat, it is a special chapter which is dedicated to non-resident Indians. So, those persons of Indian origin who has now become non-resident, who normally regarded as non-resident Indians, for them only this particular chapter is applicable. One of the very important aspect of this chapter of non-resident Indian is that this chapter is optional. This is one of the very, very beautiful aspect of this particular chapter. The chapter is optional. In other words, supposing if you got the specified income in this chapter and after few years you become resident person, still the benefit of this particular chapter will continue. That is another very good important feature of this particular chapter. And therefore, if there is any question which comes in examination condition for the non-resident Indians, normally students have always found it very difficult to understand and answer. The reason being that you have to calculate the tax liability two times. I repeat, you will have to calculate the tax liability two times. Why? Because since the chapter is optional, you will have to show in the examination condition that what if you apply the chapter, what is the tax liability, then compare it that you don't want to apply that particular chapter and calculate the tax liability. Whichever is beneficial, you will have to take that particular decision. So, one of the very valuable thing that you got to remember here in chapter 12A is that the chapter is optional. Another very valuable thing in this particular chapter is that for the capital gains transactions, the provision 1 to section 48, I repeat, provision 1 to section 48, that is basically your exchange rate fluctuation benefit with respect to the shares and debenture transaction, this is applicable. So if this particular chapter applies, give the benefit of exchange rate fluctuation benefit, that is your provision 1 to section 48, and you have to do the computation of the capital gains. Another important thing in this particular chapter 12A is that you also have the capital gains exemption provisions. In other words, if there is a foreign exchange asset which you are selling it, okay, and if you are investing into the specified asset, so sale of a foreign exchange asset, investment into specified asset, but you are investing net consideration. That means considering that if you want the optimum benefit, you have to reinvest, I repeat, you have to reinvest the net consideration to get the full benefit of the capital gains. Otherwise, you will get the proportionate benefit. Some questions on this capital gains section 115F, capital gains exemption with respect to non-resident Indians. Also, the questions which I have already solved in the classroom, you should better turn your pages and look at those particular questions of the capital gains exemption that should be considered. Now, the next thing that should be known to you here is that what is a foreign exchange asset and what is a specified asset. Now, specified asset is already defined in this particular chapter, shares in Indian company, debentures issued by Indian company which is not a private company, deposit with the Indian company which is not a private company, securities of the central government, such other specified asset. These are the specified assets. If these specified assets are acquired through the relevant foreign currency, it will become a foreign exchange asset. In other words, the foreign exchange assets are the specified assets, but they are acquired in the relevant foreign currency. That is basically the convertible foreign currency. And thus, the same specified asset will become a foreign exchange asset in this particular provisions of chapter 12A. DTAA, that is Double Taxation Avoidance Agreement. Indian government and the foreign government or the foreign territory may enter into an agreement for the avoidance of the double taxation. So basically, Indian government and that foreign government will sign up an agreement which you call as a DTAA agreement, and that particular agreement will make a special provisions with regards to the avoidance of the double taxation and of course the other measures in this particular double taxation treaty. The purpose of the double taxation treaty is basically to grant the relief on account of the double taxation. The second purpose is to avoid the double taxation. There is a purpose of exchange of information where two countries have come to an arrangement of exchanging the information with each other, and the recovery of taxes, if any. The purpose of this double taxation agreement is to grant relief for double taxation, to avoid the double taxation, to exchange the information, or for the recovery of taxes from the other foreign country. Now, Indian government and that government will sign up this particular agreement. In that particular case, if there is any income which is doubly taxed, it will be subjected to the reliefs as per the agreement. So what you will have to do, you will have to follow the provisions of the agreement. If any question come in the examination condition, you have to read it very clearly that the relief on account of double taxation that you are giving, whether it is by virtue of the agreement or otherwise. In other words, where the Indian government and that particular government, whether they have signed up an agreement or not, that data has to be printed in the question itself. And if that data is printed, then you will have to apply these particular provisions of the double taxation, and then the relevant extracts of the double taxation avoidance agreement etc. may be printed in the question, or it might have been hinted in the question, and whatever is the relevant data given to you in the examination condition, follow that, and having followed that, you have to compute the net tax liability of this particular type of the assessee. Let me tell you friends, the variety of the questions, because this chapter is pretty practical, variety of the questions which I have already solved in our regular class, please have a look of these particular questions very precisely as a revision before the examination, and just check every question, how the relief that we have given, whether by virtue of the agreement we have given or otherwise that we have already given the double taxation relief in that respective questions. Where there is a situation where assessee has entered into a certain transaction with those country with which India does not have a double taxation avoidance agreement. I repeat, where assessee has entered into a transaction with such a country with which India does not have a double taxation avoidance agreement, and the assessee is basically resident in India. So, for example, I'm resident in India, and I have for a few days I have gone to, say, for example, a foreign country, and there I have given some lectures, and there I have earned some income, and thereafter I come back to India. So I am resident in India, but I have some incomes which is accruing or arising in that particular foreign country, and the Indian government and the foreign government do not have any double taxation avoidance agreement. Now, in this particular situation, section 91 will come into picture, and section 91 will say that you will be given a relief, a special deduction from the tax liability, so that the double taxation is avoided. So in this situation, the calculation will be done like that. You have to calculate the average rate of tax of that country, and you have to calculate the average rate of tax in India. Okay, so you will have average rate of tax of both the countries, multiply whichever is less with the doubly taxed income. So income which is taxed in that country also, and income which is taxed in India also, that is a doubly taxed income. So multiply that with whichever rate is lower, that means whichever average rate, the average rate of that country and average rate of India. So multiply that with the doubly taxed income. This will be your double taxation avoidance relief by virtue of section 91, where you are a resident having a transaction with those country with which India does not have any double taxation avoidance agreements. Friends, remember this one point. It is a general purpose logic, but this is not a foolproof logic. the tax treatment in the international taxation in the hands of non-resident, how it is different in case of a resident person. So international taxation with respect to non-resident, resident, general thing, general note, this is not a foolproof note, but this can help you in the examination condition. Normally, if the assessee is a non-resident, listen very carefully. If the assessee is a non-resident, that particular assessee will get a special rates of tax by and large. That means chapter 12 and chapter 12A, when you read it together in an appropriate situation, the law will say that you will get a special rates of tax. Generally, special rates of tax is the concessional rates of tax in a specified circumstances. Okay, this happens to a non-resident. But similar transaction, if the assessee is a resident, then you get generally double taxation avoidance reliefs. Depending upon transaction is done with the country with which you have the agreement, or you do a transaction with the country with which India do not have the agreement. Basically, the tax rebates. You get this kind of rebates for the taxes paid in the foreign country because you are resident in India. So for those people who are resident in India, basically we call it as a home country also. That means if I if you talk about myself, where I hardly travel abroad except for some vacations. So in that particular situation, my home country is the country in which I am resident, that is India. So if I have some foreign incomes, I'll get the tax rebates. So that is the kind of a difference between the taxation of non-resident and the resident with respect to the international transactions. The home country gives you the rebate. Generally, this is what I am just trying to tell you. However, if you are a non-resident in a country, that particular country will give you concessional rates of tax by and large in relation to the international taxation. As I already told you that this is not a foolproof thing, but this may help because in majority of the situation, this is the kind of attitude that you should carry in your mind so that you approach it very rightly in the examination conditions.